Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He is our source. He is the strength.
Yes, he is.
Of our life. We lift our hands in total adoration and worship unto him. Stand with me this morning with your Bibles and journey with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. To all of our elders and deacons, our ministers, our mothers, amen, First Lady, and to all of God's people, it's a blessing to be in the land of the living, y'all. It's a blessing to be alive. Amen. It is a blessing to be alive and well. Ephesians chapter 6. Thank God for our worship team. Amen. Help me praise God for them. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to pick up where we left off at last Sunday. Verse 13. We're going to read to verse 17, but we're only going to deal with 13 and 14 today. But I want us to be able to get the full grasp of what the Apostle Paul says to us here. He says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you can be able to resist the enemy in time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. He says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Preparation, and in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I want to talk this morning from part two of our series entitled Battle Ready, Provision for the Struggle. Provision for the Struggle. God, we thank you. God, we praise you. God, we magnify you. We lift you up because you are great and you are greatly to be praised, oh God. There is nobody like you, Father. We could search, we could look, we could Google, and not even be able to come close to find anybody quite like you, Father. We pray, oh God, as we go into your word this morning, Father God, that we come ready with hearts open to receive what you have to say to us. We don't know, Father, how we may be tested by this world or tested by life, oh God, but we know that you have a word for us, oh God, that has the power to transform our lives. And it's in the strong name of Jesus we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Before you take your seat, just say something to somebody around you. Give them a hug. Give them a high five. Give them a greeting. Give them a compliment. Just let them know they got the best seat in the house. Amen. Sit next to you. They got the best seat in the house. Sitting by you. Provision for the struggle. One thing about Southern Illinois, one thing about the Midwest is that you can experience all four seasons. Not in just a week, Bishop, but you can experience all four seasons in the same day. I mean, I tell you, it was what, last Sunday, it was just gorgeous and beautiful outside. I mean, the birds are just chirping, the sun is just shining bright. And then a few days after that, you have to turn your heat on because it got a little cool. And then a few days after that, you turn your heat on and you turn your air back on because it got hot. And then now your allergies are confused because they don't know what to do. Do I need to adapt to this? Do I need to adapt? And then rain starts coming. The rain is coming in. And it's hard. I don't know about anybody else. It's hard to navigate and to move around when it's raining because it's something about the rain that just makes you want to go night-night. I mean, it makes you really want to go to sleep, and not just a 15-minute nap, Doc, but I mean a good 2 or 3 hour nap that rain makes you want to be able to experience in your life. All in one time we can experience. And so in doing that, we have to be prepared and ready at all times because we don't know what the weather is going to be, and we have to make sure that we are equipped and we have everything that we need just in case the weather changes. I was ready. I had got the day going and everything like that, and I got in my car, and I got to work, did what I had to do, and I come out, Minister Williams, and the next thing I know, it's raining, and I don't have no type of umbrella around me at all. In fact, the umbrella is in the car. And listen, I know you're saying, well, Pastor, what are you concerned about with the weather changing, with the rain coming? You're bald head, but you don't want to be bald in the rain, because when the rain hits your bald head, it's a different type of pain, Jeremy, that hits your head. I mean, when it's really cold, it's like it takes its time and just narrows down and just pops at your head like somebody's popping you with the finger on your head, and you're running trying to get to the car, and you don't want to fall, because that is a bad thing if you fall and then you're bald at the same time, because the concrete and the cement is not your friend if you fall on a rainy concrete.
All right, come on, Swim.
So I'm running, and people trying to talk to me. I'm trying to talk and do all this stuff at the same time. I'm trying to get to the house. I'm trying to get to the car where there's safety, and I got a covering on my head. Now, regardless of having the umbrella or not, it's good to be able to have, because it helps keep me covered.
All right.
When the weather is crazy. Now, just because I have the umbrella doesn't mean I'm not going to have some crazy weather.
Okay.
It just simply means that now that I have the umbrella, I have something that in the midst of the rain, in the midst of the storm, I have something that's covering me and shielding me from the elements that can impact me.
Okay.
Paul says to us, as he talks to the church at Ephesus, he says, listen, I need you all to be mindful, because there is a war that's going on. He said, I need you all to be mindful, because there is a fight that's going on, and the enemy is after you. And here it is, saints of God. He is not trying to play tic-tac-toe with you. He is not trying to be your friend. He is watching your every move. He is studying all of your habits. He is studying all of your ways, and he is coming, not trying to take you out, but he's coming trying to kill and to destroy you. And so Paul encourages the church at Ephesus, and by way encourages us as well, that listen, I need you to put on the full armor of God. Now Paul is helping us to make it clear to know that just because you have on the full armor of God does not mean the storms and the fight and the battles are not going to come. It just simply means that I am equipped and covered to be able to withstand the strategies and the wiles of the enemy as he's coming after me. Look at what he says here, saints of God. He says it real strong. He says it real true. And he lets us know that there's a part that you and I have to play. He says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in times of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Spiritual warfare, defined by Dr. Tony Evans. I shared this with you last week, but it's so good, I want to say it again. It's the cosmic conflict waged in the invisible spiritual realm, which simultaneously fleshed out in the context of the visible physical realm. Let me say it again. It's right there on the screens for you. It's the cosmic conflict waged in the invisible. It's the spiritual realm, which simultaneously fleshed out in the context of the visible physical realm. In other words, the root of the war is something that you and I cannot see.
Right.
But the effects of the war are clearly felt and seen. There is something that is going on in the visible world, the spiritual realm, that you and I cannot see with our natural eye, but we feel the effects of it every day. We see the effects of it every day. And Paul says for us that you and I, as believers of Jesus Christ, as children of God, that you and I must put on the full armor of God, so that as we're going out into the world, as we're going out in different spaces, that you and I are more and well equipped to be able to withstand the enemy's strategies and the wiles of everything that he is desiring to do, to be able to take us out. Feel it. I see it. And if you think for a second that your enemy is your spouse, you're wrong. If you think for a second that your enemy is the person that you work with, you're wrong. If you think for a second that the enemy is your boss, if you think for a second your enemy is the person that took that good park right there up front at Walmart, if you think they are your enemy, you're wrong. They could just simply be conduits that's being used by the enemy to stir up trouble in your life. And if we are not careful, we will waste time at fighting in the natural that gives more space for the enemy to be able to come in and close shop. Because he allowed us to be distracted by some other stuff where he can be able to come in and continue in doing what he desires to do. So Paul says, because of this, because of what we are experiencing, because of what we are seeing, because of what's being felt, he said, I need you to put on the full armor of God. This is good news for us as believers of Jesus Christ in knowing that, yes, there is a battle that's going on. Yes, there's a fight that we are in. And listen, whether you have signed up to be in this thing or not, because you are a blood wash, because you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you have been assigned to be in this fight. And the enemy, I know it's not fair. I know it's not right. I know you didn't ask for it, but the enemy is coming after you, and not just after you. He's coming after your friends, and not just after your friends. He's coming after your family members. He's coming after everything and everybody that is attached to you. And it behooves us, people of God, that we do not walk out here and not be prepared to be able to take on the enemy, that we have to put on the full armor of God. Why does Paul say, I need you to put on the full armor of God? He's just because once you do that, then after the battle, you will still be standing firm because you've been equipped and dressed for battle. And to handle the attacks and the plots and the plans of the enemy. The good news is this, that God has given provision for us to be able to fight. He's just not assigned us to be able to come out on the field and just wear whatever and just have whatever. But he has equipped us and has given provision for us to be able to withstand the trials and the wiles and the strategies of the enemy. Look at what he says in verse 14. He says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Now let's look at what he says here about the belt of truth. Now, when soldiers, Roman soldiers, when they went out to battle, they would take their clothes and they would tuck it in to their pants, and they would have their belt, and their belt was around their waist, and their belt was to be able to hold everything in place. The belt was the thing that helped keep the breastplate center and straight there, covering their heart. The belt was there so they could be able to put different tools and weapons that they may need later on. The belt was there to keep everything in its proper place. So Paul says to us, just as the soldiers must strap themselves with the belt of truth, you and I have to do the same thing. So the question becomes this, Pastor, what is truth? I like the way Dr. Tony Evans defines this. He says, truth is, at its core, is God's view of a matter. Simple. He said, at its core, truth is God's view of a matter. It's what God has to say according to his word, what it is. And whatever he says in his word, that's absolute, that's it, that settles it, regardless of what society may say, regardless of what you may think, regardless of what I may think, regardless of what you may say, regardless of what I may say, that at its core, God's view, what he thinks about it, what he says about it, according to his word, makes it truth. He goes on to say that the presence of truth brings clarity and victory, but the absence of truth leads to confusion and to defeat. So think about this for a second, saints of God. If we are in the heat of a battle and the enemy is trying to come after us, what he will do, I told you last week, that he disguises himself as an angel of light. He tries to resemble as much as God as much as he can, but it takes us having spiritual discernment that we can be able to recognize truth from error. You hear what I'm saying? So he says,
says here, so the enemy's plan is, okay, they're going out into the battle. I'm trying to attack them. I want to take them out. I want to kill them. I want to destroy them. Let me go and try to help them redefine what their truth may be. Let me go and try to get them confused or questioning what God has said in his word to cause them to get off the rocker. Because if I can get them to question his truth, it gives me space to come in. And it helped them to define their own truth. And when we find our own truth, what does it do? It leads us to confusion, and confusion leads us straight to defeat. What is truth then? It's God's view of the matter. Then what's God's view of the matter, Pastor? God's view of the matter is what he has said in his word. And if he can get us to second guess what God has said, if he can get us to try to recreate what God has designed, if he can try to get us to think that truth is different apart from what God has said, it will lead us straight to defeat. That's why, saints of God, I know this sounds repetitive. I know this sounds old, but it's so good, and we must hear it all the time, that you and I, saints of God, we have to constantly and consistently be in the word of God. We have to constantly and consistently be in the word of God, because our weapon to be able to fight the enemy is God's word, because it's when we're in the heat of the battle. I don't need to quote and say stuff that I think that may sound good. I don't need some stuff that I got from somebody. I need some stuff that works. I need to repeat some things and to speak some things that I know that has power to be able to change. And what is it that has power to be able to change lives? What is it that has power to be able to change situations? It is the word of God, and the word of God is God's truth, because it's how he sees a thing. It's how he views a thing. So the enemy is so tricky that he will allow you to listen to someone that's able to twist scripture and take it out of context to make it to mean something that God has never ordained for it to be. And we walking around naming and claiming it, and we're wondering why we're losing the battle. We're losing the battle because we're not speaking what God has said in his word. We're repeating what someone else has retwisted and said. I know. I've said this before. You got to be careful about what you allow your ears to be able to hear. You have to be careful, because there's a lot of self-help stuff that's being covered and disguised as the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's a do-it-yourself salvation. It's not the truth of God's word. And if we don't have ears to be able to hear, if we don't have ears to be able to discern, if we don't have ears to be able to understand what is God's truth and what is not, we will find ourselves confused and defeated. Because we're holding on to something that's not truth. We're claiming something that's not truth. We're repeating something that's not truth. We're holding on, and we're building on something that is not a solid foundation, and we will find ourselves confused and defeated by the enemy. He said, put on the belt of truth, because the truth is what's going to keep everything together. The truth is what's going to be the foundation of everything. He says the truth is going to be what's going to help you navigate through some of the toughest seasons of your life. He says, put on the belt of truth, which is God's word. So then how do I apply this to my life, Pastor? How do I make this make sense? How do I live this out every day in my life? I'm so glad that you asked that question. We have to engage every facet of scripture, and not merely those sections that are simplest for devotional use, but to fully grasp God's comprehensive guidance. That, listen, that you and I have to engage scripture on a consistent basis, and that we allow scripture, that we allow the truth of God's word to lead guide and direct us in every area of our lives. How are we making decisions and not seeing what God's word has to say? How are we making moves and we're not consulting the word of God? How are we making life-changing decisions and life-changing moves and we're not seeing what God's word has to say about it? And then when things don't go the way that we thought they would go, we blame God and get upset with God because we feel as if God did not keep his promise. God has yet kept his promise. We just made the word to be what we wanted to be in that moment. So I got to engage scripture. I got to engage scripture. I got to engage scripture. I have to engage scripture for every facet of my life so that I can be able to stand against the strategies and the plots of the enemy. I have to have that word down on the inside of me. I have to have his word in my heart. I have to have his word in my mind. I have to soak up the word of God on a consistent basis because, saints of God, many of us will sometimes lose the battle because we are spiritually malnourished. Oh, God, help me this morning. Help me this morning, Holy Ghost. Help me this morning, Holy Ghost. Help me this morning. We're spiritually malnourished. We have nothing in us. And then when the storms come and when the wars come, we're easily tipped over and ran over because there's nothing in us. We're not feasting off of the word of God because sometimes as you're reading the word of God, sometimes God will give you a word to encourage you. Yes, sometimes God will give you a word to inspire you, but sometimes God will give you a word that will cut that flesh and help you to realize where you need to grow and what you need to do in your life that you can be transformed and look more like him. Because even in the midst of the battle, thank you, Holy Ghost, even in the midst of the battle, God's plan is yet for us to mature and to grow. God, even in the midst of spiritual warfare, God's plan and his intent is still for you and I to grow spiritually. As though our prayer may be, God, get me out of this. Though our prayer sometimes may be, God, hurry up. Though our prayers may be, God, I get it. Now go, let this be over with. God, I understand what you're doing. Sometimes God's answer is not to rescue us from the battle. Sometimes God's plan is to grow us in the midst of the battle. So even in times of warfare, even in times of war, God still has an intentional plan for his sons and daughters to be able to win. So I got to engage. If I'm going to wear the belt of truth, I got to engage every facet of scripture. Not merely those sections that are simplest for devotional use, but I have to fully grasp God's comprehensive guidance. This is the second time that Paul says this. He said it early in the beginning, but he says it again in verse 13. I need you to put on the full armor. The armor has been made, it has been provided for you, but he's not going to make us put it on. We got to be intentional at putting on the armor of God so that we can be able to win the battle against the enemy. Because he's looking to make something look as if it's truth so that we can fall for it. He's looking to make something almost like truth so that we can fall for it. Because if we can fall for it, we'll be defeated, we'll be confused, and he will win. But when I have an ear to be able to hear and know the difference between truth and error, I know when he's lying. I'll know when he's trying to disguise himself as something that is not. And I can stand firm in God's truth and what he has already said in his word. He says, all right, all right, all right, I want you to put on. He says, I want you to, okay, I'm sorry. Here's another application. I'm going to skip one. I don't want to skip another because I want y'all to see this. Listen, use scripture both as a framework for your prayers and a means for memorization to integrate it into your surroundings with visual cues like post-it notes and screensavers to support your spiritual resilience. Here it is, saints of God. Once again, we cannot get away from this because the belt of truth is the first part. It's the first belt. It's the first tool that we use. It's the first armor that we put on. And it builds from everything. It builds there to everything, to all the other five. And it's built off of the Word of God. It's built off of the Word of God. The Word of God, Scripture, the gospel, what God has to say, which is the truth, has to be the framework of everything that we're doing. How can we have a battle plan to attack the enemy if we're not using God's Word? When you look at the Old Testament, when they would go out into battle, they would take time to go and be with God. They would go and consult God. There were many times when Moses would say, God, do what? Do we pursue? Or do we wait? Do we go in? Or do we wait? And sometimes God would tell him to wait, and then God would come back and say, okay, listen, I'm going to have you go around the mountain, down the alley, downstairs, come up, and bam, you're going to get him. God will come back and say, hey, here's what I want y'all. You've gotten me involved. You consulted me. Here's what I want you to do. Go get the praise team. Put down your weapons. And as you're going out into battle, I want you to start singing and praising God and watch how your enemy will be defeated. How can you go into a battle and you don't have the Word of God as a part of your battle plan? He says, we got to use Scripture as the framework for our prayers. That even in our prayers, as we're praying to God while we're in the battle, that we're allowing Scripture to lead us in our prayers. We're allowing Scripture to guide us in our prayers. I'm just simply saying, well, God, you said. God, you said you would never leave me nor forsake me. God, you said that you are very present help in the time of trouble. God, you said. Bringing back to him what he has already said. I'm bringing back to him the truth that he has already spoken over my life, and I have something to be able to hang on, which is the truth of God. Then I surround myself. Here it is. I know it may sound crazy. I know it may sound elementary, but get you some post-it notes and start putting that word all around you. I mean, put some stuff on your phone. Schedule some scripture to pop up on your phone. I mean, just keep it all around you so that your mind is always concentrated on the Word of God. Because here it is, saints of God, if the enemy can get our minds, we've lost. If he can get our minds, he can get us. So I got to get Scripture. I got to memorize Scripture. I got to have Scripture all around me to remind me of what God has already said, the truth of who he is. And the truth of what he has the power to do in our lives if I trust him and to give him space to be able to do it. He says, put on the belt of truth. But he said, don't stop right there. Don't just put on the belt of truth. He says, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Your Bible may say the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness, Pastor? It's being made right. It's doing right. And without Jesus Christ, you and I are not able to do right or to be right. Without his righteousness. Let me say it again. Without Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for us, we don't have the capability of being right or doing right. We cannot do right or be right on our own. It takes Jesus and his righteousness in us to be able to do right and to be right. Okay, Bible time. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering of our sin, so that we could be made right, so that we could be made right through with God through Christ. So a theological term is called imputed righteousness. Everybody say imputed. Imputed righteousness. It simply means this. Imagine a man who is broke and wants to buy a car. He goes to a dealership but can't purchase the car because he has neither no money nor credit. Luckily, he has a childhood friend who is now a billionaire. I want a friend like that. He's now a billionaire. A billionaire friend calls the dealership and says, let him pick any car he wants and put it on my tab. Essentially, the billionaire is giving the broke man access to his wealth. As a result, the man without funds is able to leave the dealership as the owner of a new car with the cost billed to his friend's account. So when he imputed his righteousness into me, now what happens when our Father sees us, he does not see the sins and all the stuff that we have done. He sees his Son, Jesus Christ, who was the perfect Lamb that died for the sins of the world. And it is through that and only by that that you and I are made righteous. So he says, I need you to put on the breastplate righteousness so that you can be able to do right and so that you can be able to be right. Notice here, when we look at righteousness, it's not just about God, but we also has a part in there about us and our integrity and how we live and how we work. Because once again, thanks to God, I told you last week, the enemy is studying your every move. He's watching what you do. He's watching who you're in conversation with. He knows our weaknesses. He knows the right cologne or perfume to make you drop. Huh? He knows the right, wig, the right waves. How many waves that can get you weak? He knows. He knows all of those things, and he's looking for a way. How can I break them in having fellowship with God? How can I get them to break fellowship with God? Because here it is, with this imputed righteousness, listen, I am saved, and there is no way I can lose my salvation. There is nothing that can take my salvation away. It's a sure thing, it's a guaranteed thing, but the enemy is looking for ways of how he can break our fellowship with God. What can I do to distract them, to get them to stop praying to God? What can I disguise and bring in their view, in their attention, and to get their eyes, to get their ears? Get them to start questioning the truth of my word and help them to redefine their own truth. He's looking for ways, Imani, of how he can break us from having fellowship with God. That's why it's so important, saints of God, that even when it comes to our walk with God, even when it comes to sin, because listen, all of us have sinned. Don't look at me like that. All of us have sinned. All of us have sinned. All of us. In fact, let's go ahead and let's make a church-wide announcement real quick. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're a sinner just like me. Okay, I don't want nobody to feel left out. Turn to your other neighbor and say, neighbor, guess what? You're a sinner just like me. Now find somebody behind you and say, hey, you, you're a sinner just like me. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There may be some things that we have sinned in the way that we have done some things that we knew that we should not have done, that we have not done some things that we should not have done. But all of us have sinned, and the enemy will try to use that against us. Because somebody has convinced themselves, you know what? I'm tired of asking God for forgiveness for the same sin. Yeah. Because they're convinced, I've done this. I convinced myself, Dr. Kimbue, what's the point of me asking God to forgive me of this particular sin when I know if the opportunity comes again, I'm going to take it? Oh, don't y'all leave me out here by myself. Y'all done did the same thing. I said, Lord, if I'm going to take it, I'm going to be ready for it, Lord. I'm ready now. I'm looking for it. Where is it? I've gone through the steps of asking him for forgiveness, but it was never genuine from my heart because I knew the opportunity comes, I'm on it like white on rice. I'm on it, baby. I'm taking it and I'm riding it out and I'm going to have fun. I'm going to enjoy it all the way to the max. And the enemy will use that. Oh, yeah, you're right. Just, yeah, might as well. Listen, he's a God that's going to forgive you anyway. So just go right ahead and just live your best life and do what you want. Just go right ahead and you can always come back and, because he's such a gracious God. He's such a loving God. And the enemy will use that against us. Because unconfessed sin hinders our walk with God. Unconfessed sin hinders our walk with God. It hinders the consistency of it because why? In that moment where it's unconfessed, Bishop, and I've been in the fall for so long, now the guilt and the shame come and the condemnation comes along with it, and I feel as if I'm not worthy to come to God. How could he receive anything from somebody like me after what I've done? I know I shouldn't have done it, but I did it anyway. How could I ever go and ask him for forgiveness? And we stay stuck there. And the enemy will say, listen, you ain't worth nothing. You ain't nothing but filthy rags. Why go? Why go and talk to him? Why go? Just continue to enjoy what you're in. And now this unconfessed sin hinders my walk with him. And if unconfessed sin hinders my walk with him, it gives the enemy another space to come in and to bring defeat. Notice the breastplate covers the heart. Notice the breastplate covers the heart. Because he knows if I can get one shot to the heart, if I can just get one good shot, I'm just waiting for the right moment. If I can just one good shot, that's all I need. And they're done. What's your heart like? Think about that for a second. What is the condition of your heart? Is there unconfessed sin that you have there that you have not confessed to him? Because the Bible is true. He said if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. One scripture writer said that when we confess our sin, he throws it into the sea of forgiveness. Another writer said that when we confess our sin, he takes the mere evidence against us and he tramples it under his feet. What's the condition of your heart? What's the real condition of your heart? Because the enemy will do all that he can to interrupt and to interfere in our walk with God, that will steer us away from obeying his truth. He will do all that he can to get smack dab in the middle of our relationship with God, to stop us from obeying his truth. Almost being like Adam and Eve in the garden. Did you really mean not to eat from that tree? Is that what you... I'm like, was it part of it? Was it the east side of the tree, south side, north side? Or did you really mean that? I just can't get a little taste of it, just a little bit. No. He would do all that he can so that we cannot be in good standing with God. So we got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Because he wants to come and interfere in our relationship with God. But he wants to come and assassinate your integrity. He wants to come and assassinate our integrity. He wants to come so that when your name is mentioned, it has no weight. He wants to mess us up so that when people mention our name, they, as soon as our name is mentioned, they assign to us a sin or something or an entanglement that we done got ourselves in. You talking about Chris Swims, Chip, him? Well, you know what they say, right? Listen. I saw it on Snapchat. Y'all know how we do. We get all our information from Facebook. We ain't fact check nothing. We done put folks in the grave. They ain't even there yet. We done put rest in peace and everything. They looking. What do you mean? I'm not dead. But he wants to mess us up so that when our names are mentioned, there's no weight. There's no integrity. There's nothing with it. Breastplate of righteousness, because through the help of the Holy Spirit, he helps us to live a life that's pleasing to God. He helps us to walk in integrity. He helps us to walk in honor. So, Pastor, how do I apply this to my life? How do I walk this out of my everyday life? First of all, we have to yield our hearts willing to obey God's instructions. We got to yield our hearts. I have to feed my heart the word of God and to train and teach my heart to obey God. I have to break my will and not be my will and what I want to do and what I want to say and how I want to handle things, but I have to yield to the Holy Spirit and allow him to be able to help me and help my heart to want to obey God's instructions. Why? Saints of God, because without the help of the Holy Spirit, we will do what we want to do. Oh, I wish y'all would talk back to me this morning. Come on, I know I'm not out here by myself. If it was not for the help of the Holy Spirit, we would have cursed a lot of people out on a consistent basis. But he helps us not to. And we say, God bless you in Jesus' name. Don't leave me by myself. Am I only one? Without the help of the Holy Spirit, he helps us to do right by people that has done wrong by us. With the help of the Holy Spirit, he helps us to speak well of people who have damned our names. So I need the breastplate of righteousness on, and I need the belt of truth to help keep it straight, to protect my heart. So that I can live a life that honors God, a life that has integrity. So I got to yield my heart, willing to obey God's instructions. And then here's the second application. I got to seek guidance and support from trusted. Everybody say, trust it. Trusted individuals to help overcome struggles with sin and disobedience, reinforcing the importance of community support and living according to God's plan. That I need to surround myself with some mature believers that I can be honest and come clean with, that can help me and hold me accountable. And that I don't see accountability as somebody hating on me, but that accountability is someone helping me. So that I can be able to live according to God's plan. Why? Because the enemy is looking for every direction, every way, every entryway, every interest that he can find to come in to destroy us. you may need someone else that could come alongside you in the journey to encourage you, to hold you accountable, to check in on you, to help you along the way, that may have experienced the same struggle that you may have experienced and can let you know that there's victory on the other side because I'm experiencing it now. So that we can continue to live according to God's plan. If we're not dressed properly, we will go out into the world and get demolished. If we're not dressed properly with the right gear, with the right tools, there would be unnecessary casualties because we weren't ready. And how many more things does the enemy need to let you do? How many more things does the enemy need to do to let you know I'm not playing with you? How much more does the warfare need to intense for you to get it? Okay, hey, I think he hates me. I really, really do. For us to be able to get it and recognize he's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. He really is. The enemy is not what we see on TV, some little red suit wearing person with a pitchfork and a long tail. No. 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 One of his imps could come talking scripture better than you can. Praising God, I mean running, shouting, doing all of it. So I got to have discernment to be able to see and to know the difference. Got to have a heart yielding. I'm going to have to look for some communal support so that I can be able to stand at the end of the fight. I can still be standing firm because I'm dressed properly and ready for whatever the enemy may attempt to do. Because let me go back and tell you what I told you last week. The battle has already been won. Victory has already been won. We're just getting dressed to seal the deal. So what are you going to wear tomorrow? I know you probably got your clothes picked out for the week, got your colors ready. And let me tell you, you'll be looking good too. But don't forget to put on the armor of God. Because as soon as your feet touch the ground tomorrow morning, the enemy is ready. He's ready. He's ready. He's ready. He's ready. And again, this may sound repetitive, but please, saints of God, stay in this word. Please, believers of Jesus Christ, stay in this word. Please, believers of Jesus Christ, stay under good teaching of God's word. Solid teaching so that you can be able to get the results that God promises and not what somebody has said, but what God has said according to his word, what he would do when we put our faith and our trust in him and in his word to work in our lives. Father, I thank you right now. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for the provision
that you have given us by providing us with your armor. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we're ready to put it on, Lord. And that it won't just be because this is what the pastor is preaching on, but that it will be something that we are conscious about every day of our lives, that we are dressed properly as we go out into the world. Because we know who's against us. We know who's trying to take us out. And I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that we can be able to stand firm and push back against every attack. God, I pray that we can push back and not allow ourselves to be bullied or punked by the enemy and his tactics. I pray for our minds, oh God, that our minds will stay focused on the truth, your view of how you see things, oh God, which is your word. And it's in the strong name of Jesus we pray. And every believer said, amen. As our ministers and elders and prayer